Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. Hello, welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. This week, I've got a very special guest, and I'm really, really pleased to have this person on my podcast with me. I've known this particular individual for a few years now. I've watched her journey, and I've watched her blossom into an amazing businesswoman. Not only is she an entrepreneur, she is a businesswoman with a very amazing business that she's going to tell you about. She's also a property investor, and she's also a mother. How does she do it all? Well, perhaps today we'll find out a little bit more about how she juggles all her responsibilities and does them very, very successfully with great flair. Welcome to the podcast, Natalia Makanone Bryden.
Hello, Wendy. Thank you.
I don't think I pronounced your surname correctly, even then, even after practicing it. Would you like to share how you pronounce your name correctly, Natalia?
Natalia Makanone Bryden. So,
Makanone Bryden.
Yeah. Interesting enough, actually, the second part of my name is literally my maiden name.
Okay. I'd like to start there, actually. I'd like to start with you way back when you were in your childhood or your youth, because you're not a native of the UK, as we can hear from your accent. So Tell us a little bit about your background, Natalia. What brought you to the UK and how did that journey begin?
So I've relocated to London in 2009. And to be honest, it was a personal and also business matter. It's all together. It's like, you know, the situation when all the stars actually show you the path where you're going to. And at that time I was, my partner, so he made a proposal to me, a marriage proposal. So, and this was one of the reasons. And the second reason was I was working for the international company BMW. I spoke with my managers and the leaders, and they offered me a promotion. And that's why I was relocating. And at that time, I was working in the company in the UK as well.
Amazing. So you obviously had some links to the UK clearly already. Your background, you're Russian by birth. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting when we talk about the property market, you share some of the information and context of what it's like to be in Russia. And I know you and I have shared a number of times about the differences between the UK and Russia and people's perceptions of what Russia is like. And I found that very interesting. Would you mind just sharing some of those thoughts that you have today? Obviously, we have a very tricky situation going on with Russia and Ukraine, but aside from the politics, tell us a little bit more what some of the differences in terms of the culture and the processes.
I would say when I relocated to UK, even though my English was in a good level, you know, it wasn't like 100% fluent, but at the same time, you know, I could speak, understand, you know, negotiations, and I was working in the business, so it was very, very helpful. But I found that one of the big, largest observations at that time was that the difference in culture was that even in the business scene, when you are in the meeting, and for example, if you are in the like Moscow Russian environment, there are a number of people who are involved in the meeting, and something, for example, didn't happen in the company because someone didn't do specifically in a good way their job. And in the Russian environment, people will not be kind of like what I've experienced before I've relocated, they wouldn't be afraid, or they wouldn't feel uncomfortable to flag that, guys, this didn't happen because of the specific person. And for example, this needs to be sorted out and let's move on. Let's see that this needs to be fixed and let's move on. So it will be kind of like quite a direct and radical solution. So when I've relocated to UK and the same business environment, even the same company, for example, and then actually there was a number of people, the same, for example, 8-10 people, if it's like a big, you know, something that relates to the project, moving on the project. And I felt it, it was very interesting that if something didn't happen for the specific person, didn't, you know, did in a good way their job, it was that people will feel a little bit, they will feel discomfort to point on a specific individual that, guys, we're here all together and sorting it all out because the specific person didn't do the job in the right way. So everyone will try actually to avoid to speak about directly about the elephant in the room. And what I found, it's actually there is, you know, two sides of the same coin that A, it actually avoided quite a lot of conflict, unnecessary conflict, for example, direct, you know, conversations. So in the way, and then it's, you know, the process went more smoother, I would say, and the communication is more smoother. But at the same time, it was probably a little bit slowing down the process. So the difference is between the two cultures is a little bit, you know, some people are working on the process, some people more oriented for the result. So I would say that these two kind of like differences, they were very obvious to me. But there is no good or bad in any of those because it really depends on what the company wants.
Well, that's a very good starting point. And I love what you said already, because I think that contrast between the two cultures, and that's just one of probably many that you've spotted as a Russian living in the UK and occasionally going back to Russia, you would have seen the contrast perhaps more starkly the more that you've traveled between the two countries and worked with people and developed your own business. But that itself will help you greatly doing what you do. So I think let's start then, Natalia, by answering that question. First of all, what is it that you do on a day-to-day business? We're not going to talk yet about HMOs, we'll come on to that, but what's your main business?
So I'm quite fortunate because I had so far an amazing journey. So when I relocated to UK, I've been given the opportunities within the business. And I was learning quite fast about the insurance, about sales, about different products. And then actually I've re-educated myself with the wealth management. And I was working for a number of years in the multifamily office as the head of the business development, working with the international clients, predominantly who has seen that there is an interest in the UK, whether the kids will be going to school or whether they would like to open bank accounts and actually relocate their family. And it helped me to really understand that a lot of people outside from the outside of the UK and in different nationalities, you know, Middle East, Russian speakers, you know, people from Israel as well, US. So they really always, they are always interested in property. So, and I was lucky enough to find out actually and quite early that this topic is very interesting for me. So I combined my business and personal interest, because what I wanted to do is to learn how to invest into the properties. So I've originally started to manage the properties on the client's behalf and help them to make the solution whether to sell or whether to buy the properties. And currently I have a team. So my company name is UK Property Advisors, while working with local and international residential vendors, buyers, and also landlords and tenants to help them to make informed decisions that relate to whether selling or buying properties in London.
Wonderful. So you formed this business. How many years ago now have you been formed?
So I started as a self-employed, let me say, agent in 2015.
And the business has grown. You've taken on a team of staff now who help you to run the business. And given your international connections, in the early days, I believe that you did quite a lot of work with Russians who were wanting to invest in the UK, and have broadened that out to many other different cultures and many other different nationalities, which is very exciting. So now you help people find wonderful properties in London, and you also help sellers, of course, get the best price for their properties in London. So effectively, you're an estate agent. That's what we would probably call it, is an estate agent. But I think that, Natalia, you're an estate agent with a difference. So tell us what you aim for in terms of your business. What is it that you want your business to be known for, and why is it that you're different?
So first of all, you know, our difference and the, you know, the standards that we represent is that our unique selling proposition that we're looking into building relations with the client for life, rather than, you know, we're looking into any specific transaction. So we are advising them, and literally depending on the property market and what is their family goal. So usually, you know, my conversation with the buyer or seller starts with what does it mean, this transaction, what the next move, what is the right move for them and their family? Why they're considering to sell, why they're considering to buy. Because out of that, when we understand what are their family plans and how flexible they are with their family plans, we really start to see what are the best possible options for them. And we discuss these options with them, and we discuss them not only from the point of view of the transaction, but we also see in terms of, you know, if they plan the relocation, in terms of what the timeframes, if there is any immigration things that needs to be sorted out, we have our power circle. So it means that actually we can project manage the situation and make sure that, you know, the specific, you know, experts will feed into our project, so we can make this kind of like their transition smoother. And I don't think that, you know, quite a lot of agents in prime central London are doing that. First of all, you know, because they are targeted in selling properties, they're not targeting in helping the client actually to solve their kind of like the chain, or to solve the whole situation with their family. What is the plan there? So because it takes quite a lot of time, and it requires, you know, the expertise. So that's why we're quite lucky to be able to have, because of my background and the experience. So we quite easily identified what are the sequence of steps that needs to be done and the people that we need to have within this team.
Amazing. Your service then seems to take on board people's lifestyle needs, as well as their need for a lovely property, whether it's going to be a first home or a second home or a UK-based home. It's much more than just a transactional relationship where you're finding a property and selling them the property and taking a cut in the middle. You're actually adding value to their lives by helping them, as you say, to either relocate or to make that change, and to look at the person as a whole person rather than just an individual who's going to pay your fee at the end of the month.
Absolutely, because I found it, you know, there is, you know, especially in the prime central London, you know, and any investor, any buyer, any vendor, they usually have their main business. And they want to make sure that it's like we are like part of their leverage. They want to make sure that they have focus and they can actually invest their time, valuable time, in their main business. But they want to have a trusted person and the team who would be able to schedule those things. So we're kind of like in some sort of way concierge in that essence. But before we're making the move, we literally need to provide them the option, and also to budget and calculate and to see not only, for example, if they're selling something or buying something, what implications it can have on their cash flow, what implications it will have, for example, on the inheritance tax. We're kind of thinking not about this transaction, but what will happen in the future. And obviously, we're doing it to the extent of the current regulations in the UK. And we are very fortunate, again, it helps us actually to communicate with a lot of professionals within the industry, because usually every single client, we form for them like this power circle.
You must have a great number of connections then, Natalia, to be able to do that for your clients.
It's the connections that, you know, that's... you know, you're building for years. Obviously, there is nothing that is the client can't do on their own. But it's, again, it's the part of their leverage in terms of anything possible, but how much time they will need to invest to find the reliable partner to do that and manage all of this. With us, you know, we can direct them easily.
And that's quite an unusual service, I would imagine, isn't it? That what you're doing is adding a great deal of support, value, input, help, so that it's not just about property anymore. It's actually about people. And that's the difference. And that's really what makes a great property investor, I always feel, is when you realize there's actually people at the heart of the transaction.
And exactly, because we're building relationship with the people, and we're quite fortunate. I would say 99% of our business is through the referrals. And, we're moving our, like, the business in the different directions. Now we're more and more narrowing it down to the prime central London, into the specific area in the prime central London, like Kensington, Knightsbridge, Belgravia. And also within this area, we have as well the farming area. This is where we are aspired to become known more and more. But at the same time, with the international clients as well, they don't know how the rules work in the UK. They don't know. In majority cases, you start from the basics of explaining what is the difference between the leasehold or freehold, and why it has, you know, an impact on the value of the property. And if the person, for example, they don't have this knowledge, it's very difficult for them to make informed decisions. Or when they even read the survey, or when something is sent by the solicitors, sometimes it requires to be translated from English to English in the way just to explain what is the meaning of those things. And we find it very, very useful to have all those conversations with the clients. And as I mentioned before, everything starts literally with understanding and helping them to understand and set up the strategy of what they want to achieve. Because sometimes it takes the time to really understand why the client is considering to sell and what is the necessity there, what are the timeframes. So by asking the right questions, we help them to navigate their thinking, their mindset, so they can make a peace with their own plan, and then we can start implementing it.
I think this is a very valuable service. I think even British people could do with this service, because reading contracts from solicitors and understanding some of the intricacies about freehold, leasehold, and property law are very, very complex. And, you know, even for somebody who's British born and bred and is fluent in English, I think most people find that incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're doing is a very valuable service, and you're clearly very passionate about it as well, Natalia. Mm-hmm. Where does your passion come from? What is it that kind of drives you to get up every day and commit with such energy to what you do?
It's first of all, I'm happy that I found I found the activity that really is ticking all the boxes for me. So that's why I do not consider myself even kind of like an estate agent, even though this is part of the significant part of the role. I consider myself as the family and wealth advisor, because everything that relates, you know, there are so many movable parts usually. So that's where I'm driving, you know, my biggest driver is as well as my family. I'm so interested, you know, in a lot of kind of like in the UK or outside of the UK, but one of the very sensitive topic that people, you know, are not comfortable to discuss, I think it's one of four, is literally about money. And in my case, I'm intrigued by the entrepreneurs. I'm reading a lot of books. I see a lot of examples. And one of the questions that I was always asking, even from the beginning in my career, or my career in this industry from 2013, was I was asking every successful person how they created their wealth, how they started. And at some point, I realized that they're not different from me. They started at some point to become serious about the wealth creation. They started to learn the skills. They started to learn to study, you know, cash flow. They started to read the books, and they were educating themselves on different strategies. So that's why building the business is one of the strategy. Another business is actually relatively, let me call it relatively, because there is no, I would say, like such a thing as a passive investment. It's relatively passive investment because you still need to oversee it or have measures and controls in this. So that's why the passion is really family and understanding how the laws of universe and money work. And I think that money is an energy. So if you focus on something, then you will build. And I can see the results, you know, slowly. I'm not the quickest one, 100%, you know. But when I see, and I'm comparing myself with me a year ago, and it's not about what I have. It starts with be, because you have to become who you need to become in order to have what you want to have. And this is where a lot of, I think that people a little bit think differently. They think that first of all, they want to have what they want to have, and they think that they will become whoever they need to become. And I think it's other way around.
I think that is absolutely correct, and it's words of wisdom, and clearly it's something that you yourself have experienced, that personal growth that has happened prior to business growth, and the fact that you've had to probably change your way of thinking in order to change your way of behaving so that you can then change your outcomes.
You know, and being grateful, you know, God gives you, like, you know, you're meeting the people. This is how we've met. Like, I remember our first, you know, when I started to, you know, when I was started to consider the HMO as a strategy for me. So then I wanted to learn about it. So I Googled and I found your book. So I've read the book and I was thinking, I wonder if Wendy has any educational courses. And I've met you on that course, and then you became my mentor. And there is a sequence of things that happened. I was searching for the information. And then when I've started, to search for the information, then, you know, like the next page of the book appears, you know, you kind of like turn the page and there is more information. So just being persistent, that is very, very important. And obviously focused, I would say one of the things is actually focus is very important.
Let's move on then to HMOs. You've mm-hmm. clearly got a good knowledge of property. You've got a great passion to help people and to create a business that is profitable and serves you, serves your team, but also serves your customers and your clients, which is, you know, amazing. And that's such a, you know, I can see it oozes out of you, Natalia. It's amazing.
Thank you.
What about HMOs? Where do they come into the picture?
So HMOs, I was considering what I have learned whilst I was managing the properties of other people is literally, you know, the first investment that usually people do other than their home is literally buy-to-let property. And, you know, for the buy-to-let properties, you know, there is certain yields that you can achieve in London or outside of London, depending on the area. But if you, and I've learned this strategy and I was doing it myself and I was doing it for other people, I've learned all the regulations, I created the system and it worked well. I was thinking about the next step in terms of how can I maximize the potential cash flow still having this as a buy-to-let properties. And this is when I was considering house of multiple occupation, because this is the next level, because it requires a little bit of more time in terms of it's a little bit more complicated than buy-to-let. And it requires actually for you the knowledge of the regulations that are associated with the house of multiple occupation.
So there was a bit of a step for you then in terms of starting on that HMO journey. You recognized that it wasn't going to be as simple as buy to let. You had to learn and engross yourself with the learning. And you did the learning, and obviously we're all continuing to learn. You haven't ended the learning. We're still working together. And you did a very successful project. Can you tell us a bit about that first HMO project that you did, Natalia?
Yeah. So this project, it was in Midlands. So, and I was considering in terms of where I can learn about implementing the HMO, you know, all the theory stuff that we were discussing and I was learning, you know, how can I start it? And, you know, I was considering some partnerships originally, you know, but then I realized that, you know, people were a little bit in different kind of like stages of their life. And I was thinking, okay, I have to do it alone. But by having you as my mentor, it really, really helped because it gave me the confidence and I was able to check every, you know, the sequence of steps and, you know, that I'm thinking in the correct way. It was, I can't tell you, Wendy, it was so valuable because it's like, you know, you're stepping into the waters that you haven't been and there is a person who is holding your hand. It's similar when you are a child and, you know, like you're having a baby. I will be using this as an example when they really need, like, you know, my daughter Alice, she needs you actually to hold her hand and then she's more confident in kind of like in doing the steps.
Absolutely.
So that's the same feeling. And I think that the process is very, very similar. So we've discussed and you helped me with choosing the area. Then I started to visit. Actually, before that, I was literally analyzing 9 areas. So from the concepts and, you know, all the sequence and analysis that you have created, it helped us to give the framework. But I was visiting, you know, 9 towns in Midlands. And also, you know, I visited 5 of them that made sense for me. And one I particularly enjoyed just for the reason that I felt it that there is a good demographic. And also I like this place that I've thought that, you know, I would live in that place. So it means that, you know, if I would live in that place, so then it will attract the similar type of tenants. So, and that's why, you know, the whole process was managing step by step. I needed to make sure that I'm finding the property. And at that time, it was so scary because, you know, I was bidding with someone else, as you remember, during those negotiations. And I literally purchased at that time the property for the full asking price. Yeah. And when I purchased it and literally I started the process, the COVID happened. Yay.
As if you didn't need any more challenges in your life. Here's another one to throw at you.
But literally the COVID helped me in the way that it slowed down a little bit things, but I was fortunate enough that I've chosen the building team. So we have pre-approved everything. I just wanted to make sure that the building team within the COVID restrictions that they can do the work and they were able to deliver. So we have done the whole refurbishment, not within 5 months that we have planned, but literally it's 6.5 months. But it's still, I see it as a big success because at the end of the 2020, so literally I had the project completed and I had the first tenants moved in just before the Christmas.
Amazing, amazing. And to do that during COVID as your first project. Mm-hmm. And let's look at this in the context of your life. You're running a business, which you're also growing. You have a young family, which you're also growing.
Yeah.
And you're traveling between London and your chosen destination in the Midlands. So it's not as if this property was even around the corner that you could just pop into on a Saturday afternoon. You had to make a planned effort to go there. Since then, you've continued to invest in HMOs. You're currently looking at some opportunities, which are very exciting. And this is going to become, as you say, I love the way that you put that, that you've got perhaps your main income stream, which is an active business, but you're now looking to invest some of your profits and looking to be able to create a more what I call residual. I think passive, in this day and age of kind of regulation and rules and compliance, it's very hard to make anything completely passive. But certainly if we can systemize it and we can outsource a team to manage it, it can be as residual as possible with as little as possible of our time invested into it. And that's your next move to create that, which is very exciting, Natalia. How do you feel about that?
I do feel like this year what I've done, I'm using this GPS goals planning system, and I have my personal goals, I have my business goals, and also I have my money goals, and HMO is coming into my money goals. So this is kind of set there. And literally, you know, I have done, because it's very difficult to do everything simultaneously. So that's why I've decided that in order for me to achieve, like to do the next move, I need probably that area. It was good for me to learn and to go through the whole circle. But what I want to make sure, in order I can be more equipped and I have more time, I need to find another property investment and to build the portfolio closer to the area where I live. So that's why the decision was, you know, to really a little bit change the interest from the Midlands closer to London. Yes, it will require more cash in the beginning, but at the same time, you know, in the areas that I'm looking, that I'm checking and looking, you know, the capital growth potential is higher than somewhere else. So that's why I'm factoring this thing. And obviously, you know, managing all of this, it requires time blocking. I'm not the most organized person, I would say so.
I very much doubt it, Natalia. You strike me as being a very organized woman.
But I would say because I always, you know, you're always under pressure. You're always under pressure that, you know, if you are, you know, you're really not forcing, but you are ahead of the things and you're really building in the business scene, then there are some areas that, you know, they're getting low in the priority. And this year I have made a good plan of all the things, and I'm using the system, it called 411. Literally, it means like 1 year, what are the goals for 1 year, 1 month, and actually 4 weeks. And I'm planning every week in the way that what is the next step that I need to do in each of those areas. And I'm time blocking in my calendar. And I can see that I'm respecting that. I can see already the progress. And secondly is I understand where the time is going. So whatever I'm focusing, this is what I plan. Actually, I believe that this will grow. So that's why it will require a lot of focus. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that I have to not being present in my personal life and within my family, because I would say it's very, very important. I can see my daughter is growing, and I want to spend as much time as possible with her as well.
What do you like best about what you do, and what do you least like about what you do?
I love working with, you know, working with clients. I love helping people to help to find their own solutions and to make their own decisions. So I'm not telling the people what they have to do, but, you know, by thinking through and talking through the options, I can see that they come with their own decision and they find peace with it. And when they, you know, trust me with implementing their decision, I find it very inspirational. So I do love this part of the job. What I dislike, obviously, it's some routines things like, you know, setting up the processes. You know, it requires for me technically more time than I would want to spend in it. And that was my biggest challenge for a period of time. You know, when you're growing the business and the business is growing fast, you want to, you know, to increase the volumes. It requires the systems, processes and tools and leverage in terms of talented people and to make sure that they're trained to the standards that your business represents. And literally, you know, the last 6 months, I was putting more and more emphasis, and part of my day is spent on working in the business and part of the day is working on the business. And I found out that unless you will put this into the calendar, and part of my week is as well actually is the calendar in terms of what I'm doing with regards to HMO, there will be always this one day goal, or your annual goal will continue to be your someday goal rather than the annual goal.
Despite what you say, Natalia, you strike me as somebody who has, even if you faced challenges of the organization. You're a very organized person, and clearly aligning your activities with your goals is producing results for you, which is fantastic, and it's wonderful to see.
You know, it, my expectations, my apologies, it's just like I know my expectations of me are always high. That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, what I did last weekend on Saturday, you know, it was really, really funny. I've literally spent the time because I wanted to write job description for myself, for the different roles that I'm doing in the business and with investments, you know, with everything, with the HMOs. I was literally putting in different categories what I'm doing so I can consider what else I can leverage and how can I train the team to do it to the standard that I want the business to represent. And I found out I'm doing quite a lot.
I realized that by talking to you. I could have told you that.
And it was so funny. It was so funny for me because I was thinking how much, you know, why do I always feel under pressure that I'm underperforming? In my own eyes, I'm underperforming. And I think that this needs to be stopped. It's just like for any human potential, it's too much. Just accept there is something needs to be changed and adjusted. And obviously there are much better people who will do some of the things in a better way that you will do.
And that's very interesting because I wanted to ask you about the challenges that you face. And you've alluded to some of those already. Mm. What challenges do you think you have in first of all, managing your life as it is right now, but what do you think is going to be your challenge maybe in 2023 as you move forward? You're branching out into more investments, you want to grow your business, and you want to make sure you've got enough space and time for you as a person as well in your private life and to keep yourself healthy and fit and well.
The challenges are always on a weekly basis to be very specific with the priorities. You know, that's why this document that I have created with the goals, and it's actually, it's family plans, let's say family and personal plans. It's, you know, for the business and also for the, and sticking to that. Because I can see, you know, there is new opportunities are coming in. There is, you know, situations, some of them are more urgent. You know, there is some, you know, kind of like lots of, but sticking to this and making sure that I'm focusing on the things that will help me to overcome those challenges. I would say the only challenge is literally myself in the way, because I do believe that now currently is a perfect market to invest. Yes, it is a buyer's market. We understand it. But at the same time, if you know exactly what is your investment strategy, you will be looking for the opportunities and the opportunities will reveal themselves. But if you will miss this storm, like I would say, if you will miss this, if you will not be going through, you will decide to wait. You don't know. I don't know. I'm not having the crystal ball. I'm not knowing. I can see some trends that in the market, and a lot of my conversations now with the vendors and buyers, and this morning and as well yesterday as well, it's all about, you know, to show my clients where we are right now, what are the trends. And, you know, what is the next step for them? Because waiting with their plans, it might be not the right solution because we don't know how soon, you know, we understand which events can help the market to stabilize and actually to kind of like to change, to shift. But we don't know how soon these events will happen.
True. Yes, very true. Who helps you do what you do?
Oh, I'm really, really grateful. I have a number of people that and a number of teams that help me. So first of all, with regards to the business, you know, I'm part of the team as well. So I'm the member of Keller Williams. So this is the UK franchising of the US company. And I really, really enjoy working with the team for the reason that they're growing their business and they help and support my business. And, you know, they help us with training, with some CRM systems, with some IT solutions. And literally, that is one of the reasons why there is a big shift happened during the last 2 years within my business, because I've become more educated and I've studied the systems and models of, you know, the person who invented that. His name is Gary Keller. And, you know, it took him 40 years to create the manual of how you grow your estate agency business. Also, I'm surrounded by like-minded individuals. So that's why, you know, I have access to amazing estate agents where I can see how their strategy works. I'm quite observative. That is, I would say, that one of the skills that I use quite a lot. And I'm very grateful to my clients because we have open discussions. We sit together and I'm learning so much from them, because majority of them, you know, if not all, they're successful people. But as you can see, success is a measure, you know, it's like different types of the wealth, you know, it's health, it's, you know, it's money, it's relationships. And I actually, by building this relationship, I'm learning and finding out a lot of information from them, because they share their opinions openly with me, and it's very important and valuable. So I learn from them. Sometimes when it's even interesting, they help me in the way that they kind of like navigate and how should we manage the conversations and the strategize the negotiations, because, you know, they've been in the business and where they were handling even huger negotiations than property sale. And that's why it's so interesting to learn from them. And, you know, I'm having amazing team. You know, we're growing very fast. It requires, you know, when you're in the, you know, in growing the business, it requires people who are able to adapt to the change quickly and who can drive this change. And that requires a lot of focus from the team and each specific team member, because we're not a huge company. It's very visible. It's visible, and you can see accountability, and it's visible what every single person is doing within the team. So I'm surrounded by the people who believe in our vision, who want to grow together with me. And obviously, you know, the more opportunities will arise, you know, the more people we will have within our team, and we'll make our service even more better. And of course, I'm having mentors like you, because I do believe if you want to learn the craft of us, it's like a sports coach. You can do it on your own, but at the same time, you need to make sure that you're doing the right steps and in the right sequence. So that's why having you supporting me in my journey is so important, because it helps me to minimize the risks that I will be investing not in the right property, not in the right area. And actually the most significant investment is my time, so that I'm not spending the whole time of doing the things that are not important.
Wow, that's great. And what about personally, Natalia? Mm-hmm. Who supports you personally? You've got a partner, you're a mother, you are part of your local community. Yeah. You know, how do you balance all of that as well?
So it requires a big support from the family. So my biggest supporters are my family, and all of this would not be possible if I didn't know that, you know, there is with me, you know, the people who love me. And my partner, he's an amazing person. He's so inspiring. He's so inspiring because he is an extraordinary leader. And for me, it's a blessing, because we're always in this interaction, in communication, in terms of we talk through things, you know, the concepts, we kind of like decide our plans, you know, it's a big change for us. And this year, what we have decided, actually, we have done the mutual, our family GPS, and that's quite a significant step for us. Also, my biggest supporter is as well my mom. Because she's always there, she's looking after us, so she makes sure that we are fed.
Very important.
so that we have the energy, that, you know, we have the right food on the table. You know, she's absolutely supportive. So on the practical side, also, I have some leverage in terms of, you know, people helping with the household. That's why I'm pretty blessed that, you know, within my circle, all these people, they are like-minded. So it's very important, because your family and your loved ones and your partner, this is you, and the choices that you are making, and actually they are your biggest supporters in the way that they help you to grow. Yeah. Even though, you know, my dad, he doesn't live in the UK, he lives abroad, he lives in Moldova, but he's my biggest supporter, because even he doesn't know anything about the UK property market, or he doesn't know a lot of the people that are in my circle, you know, but sometimes it helps me to have a conversation with him, because he has a wisdom of life, and literally he helps me to find the solution and to, so to become, you know, to become calm and to find peace with some of the decisions that I had to make.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's, speaking like that about your family and about your support network, it's, as you say, the word is leverage, but it's not leverage from a point of view of utilizing people and using them. It's about building those relationships and understanding that they actually want to help you. And by doing so, you're actually helping them. Because giving them a role in your life is very valuable, and helping them to enable you gives them a real sense of purpose and significance. And I think sometimes as human beings, we can sometimes feel that when we can't use the skills or the time of other people, we can't ask other people to help us. But actually, a lot of people want to help. I've got friends, and particularly when my children were young, and they would say, how can I help, Wendy? And I used to find it quite hard to identify something that they could help with, but they were desperate to help because they didn't want to do what I was doing, but they were very happy to be a supporter. And I think that's a powerful thing sometimes for us as people to remember.
Absolutely.
So Natalia, before we finish, and it's been a wonderful interview, and thank you so much for giving up your time today to share your journey, your learnings, and the advice that you can give to others who might not be quite in the same space as you, but certainly are working in the property space. Can you just pass on some core words of wisdom, some advice that you would give to people who maybe either want to develop their portfolio or looking to grow their business this year, or are like you, juggling a business and property investing and children? What advice would you give to them?
I would say, first of all, start small and grow slowly. In the way that a lot of people that I hear, like they want quickly to go into the developments. I think the developments is more risky. You know, yes, it presents potentially kind of like a higher potential income and earnings. But I would say that my strategy is actually to create a steady cash flow. And then when you have the steady cash flow, then you can go into the developments. So that's why if you know already, like it was my case with buy-to-lets, then this is why I've started with HMOs. If you haven't been investing yet, start with buying the first buy-to-let, because then you will learn this process and then actually you can go into the HMO. So just like start slowly. You can't jump, you know, high enough. There is a step-by-step process that you need to learn. And when every achievement, every small achievement respected, you know, you don't have to compare yourself with someone else. You kind of like compare yourself with you a year ago and you respect this effort that you are doing, because this is where you will understand that it makes sense when you're focusing on the things and you can see the progress. Maybe it's not the fastest progress as you wanted, but at the same time, it's the progress in terms of who you want to become. And that, I would say, this respect requires. And be grateful. I would say everything from, in my case, you know, I believe in God in terms of I'm so grateful. There are lots of, you know, magical situations and magical people that are around me, and God always helps me actually to find the right solution in the difficult situations, and brings me the people that are ready to help me. In the same thing, I'm really grateful to every single opportunity. I'm very grateful to my family, to the team. And this energy is, you know, it transforms my life, and, you know, it transforms the people who are close to me. And be selective. I would say for me, it's very important, because there is 24 hours. There are the things that you want to accomplish. There is, you know, there is a lots of things that can distract us, including social media and lots of things, you know. It's how you use the same tools, whether you use them for business, for the personal. But be very selective in terms of how you use your time, because on this, in this life, we have a limited time. Is not, you can't top up the time you have in this life. So that's why be very selective how you invest it. So I don't want to use the spent, the word spent, the time, because I think the time should be your investment.
Wonderful. Absolutely amazing. I've learned so much, and actually you've really inspired me today, Natalia. Thank you so much for being here today. If anybody would like to get in touch with you, we'd love to put your contact details on the podcast notes today. So if there are people listening who are looking to invest in London, maybe with a beautiful residential home for themselves or their families, or as an investment, Natalia is your girl. So Natalia, I'd like to say a massive thank you to you for being here today. It's been great to interview you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.